So just letting those words continuing to stir in your heart and in your mind, I just invite you to take a few nice deep breaths. Maybe allow your eyes to close or gaze downward in a soft focus. And just become aware of your breathing, breathing in and breathing out. Notice yourself sitting in the chair, being held by gravity and supported by the chair, your feet on the floor. So many of these things seem so basic. But to surrender to the flow of love that we've been reflecting on is to remember that love is not manipulated. Love is not possessed. Love is not controlled. Love is simply an invitation to be present to this moment just as it is. So notice, how is it in this moment right now for you? Can you welcome and acknowledge the love that is in your life right now? Loved ones, animals, nature, ancestors, God, spirit. Just welcome and invite that loving support into your life. Just allowing your awareness to go inward to your heart. How is it with your heart? Are there thoughts, feelings, cares, and concerns that need your loving attention and presence this morning? Can you offer loving presence to whatever that might be today? Author James Finley says that love protects us from nothing, and it mysteriously sustains us in everything. So if there's suffering or hardship, can you meet that suffering and meet that hardship with love? There's nothing to change. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing to do but to just be. Maybe thinking about surrendering to the flow of love. To surrender is not just this sense of giving up, but it can also be thought of as showing up as loving presence and awareness. Maybe just taking a moment now to notice if anything has shifted or changed just in these moments of quiet, or not. And just gently allowing your attention and awareness back into the room, the people around you, the sounds, the smells, the sights. And very gently, as you're ready, opening your eyes.
I release.
Thank you. Thank you. Roy, your remarks about music in the church are well received. I've been a minister for 35 years. I don't know if you knew this, but the first 16 of those years was as a music director in some large evangelical churches in the Seattle area, directing choirs, directing orchestras, taking trips with groups all over the world. And I know the experience of being in the service and having this beautiful touch of music. It's like, oh, now we got to listen to a pastor. And now here I am. I is that one. So no offense taken. And if you feel that way, like, wow, my heart's here. Hey, no offense taken at all, I think. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. No, it's all good. And I just want to again just tell you how blessed and grateful I feel to be here, to be a part of this congregation, serving you as your minister, and living out that mission of living love and uplifting lives. I know there's something that comes before. We are a spirit-centered community. Is that it? We are a spirit-centered community, living love and uplifting lives. Let's say it again. We are a spirit-centered community, living love and uplifting lives. Thank you. I forgot to do that earlier, but it was kind of like perfect to be able to do it just now because it's a lead into the message this morning. But I really feel that, and I just want to say thank you for your grace and your patience with me in onboarding, just getting over here. I officially start full time on October 1st, as Roy mentioned. Did I say that right? Yeah, October 1st. Between now and then, I won't be here next Sunday, but I will be here the two Sundays after that. I'm spending a lot of time going back and forth to Seattle because my father passed away 3 weeks ago, and I'm just helping his memorial services coming up on September 22nd. And there's just some other things that I need to take care of before I really feel like I can come back here and just, you know, start with integrity. And so it may feel a little squishy, and is he here? Is he not here? What's he going on and doing? You know, but that's why. I want you to know, and I say this with all things, you know, I look forward to becoming an Idaho resident and to becoming a member of this community. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that today. But what I really wanted to do in these opening series of messages, and I'm not sure how long it's going to go, but that mission, our mission of living love and uplifting lives, is very resonant to me. It just means a lot. And so I want to just share what the intention for these messages are as we get through them. There's a couple of them. And the first one is this: may we connect again to our deepest longings and passions. I'm going to assume that every one of us here, myself included, wants to get up and live love and uplift lives in some way. It's going to look different. It's going to feel different. But I think just deep inside all of us, there's a longing and for our lives to have meaning and purpose to do that. And I hope that as we reflect on this, you know, through the different topics and portals that we go through today, that fire that's already in you will just be ignited a little bit more. This isn't the case of trying to start a fire in you, because I think that fire is already there. But what I hope we can do is just create a little bit of space and offer a little bit of oxygen. You know, like when you take a bellows to a spark, you know, that spark that's already there can fan into flame. And as we go through these weeks, you know, that you can connect into, what is it that excites me? What is it that I love to do? What is it that I long to do? What is it that I love to do here in this church? And what is it that I love to do here in this community? And just see what happens and talk with each other and get to know each other and see, you know, how we can make those things happen. So I hope that is a part of these messages. And then secondly, I hope that we can better know and define our culture. Culture. Culture is one of those terms that is what I think of culture. I think of culture as the intersection of values and beliefs and how we live and whatever. Every society, every country, community has a way of expressing its culture. It's reflected in styles of music, art, literature, surroundings and everything, you know, and so a lot of that here I think is very strongly known and felt, and I hope that we can revisit that again in a fresh new way and lean into it. I told this to the board when I was interviewing, but something that I think about a lot when I think about a church like this, when I think about culture and impact and making a difference in this community, is to ask the question, if this church were to close its doors tomorrow, we're not. So, okay, and I'm not putting anything out there into the universe, okay, so don't worry about it. But if that were to happen, would anybody other than church members notice or care?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I want to be, and hope we can be, that goodness, that source of blessing in the community that, oh my, you know, there would be a sense of sadness and regret. The reason that's important is sometimes, and this is kind of recovering from my previous days in evangelicalism, we do these things with this goodness with kind of a wink, wink, you know, we hope you come over to our side and do all that. And it feels very artificial and genuine, and I have a very strong feeling against it. My happiest days in ministry have been when the church has been all about bringing love, bringing life, bringing hope, and bringing goodness to the community. And if people come or not, that's their choice, you know. Of course, it'd be nice if more people come. Yeah, we all want that. But that's not our primary agenda. Our primary agenda is to love and to bless and to be a blessing to the community. And there's so much good that's already happening. I hope that we can just build on that and grow and get better and better and better. So today, I want to talk about finding love in community. Last week, we talked a little bit about finding love in loss. And the main takeaway that I hope you were to do is we talked about, you know, loss of a loved one that's been very close to me in my life, but there's other ways that we experience loss in, you know, relationships, breakups, finances, health, job, career, or whatever. To think about loss in the framework of clearing and moving. So many times when people experience loss in their lives, many of you have stories like this, things shift and things change. And all of a sudden we start, you know, reprioritizing and reorganizing our life. The disrupting, disorienting nature of loss has this way of shuffling things and reorganizing them so that living love and uplifting lives can express itself in a new way, in a fresh way. It's paradoxical, but that's how it works. Today I want to talk about living love in community. And as I think about that, I just want to tell you a story. Whoops, not ready for that yet. We'll get to that. Okay. Something really significant happened this week that just got me thinking about this. I'm curious if any of you happened to be at McEwen Park on Wednesday night for the music concert thing that went on down there. I know a few of you were because I bumped into you. I've mentioned before that the music culture in this community has a religious fervor to it. You know, people come out for music, and I love it, you know, because I'm a musician. I like music. Yeah, you know, it was there. And boy, was it fun. I mean, it was hot. It was smoky. There were tons of people there, but Lisa and I were there just taking it all in, and we were right in the middle of the dance pit in the middle, just, you know, having a dance pit or mob, whatever it's called, you know, and just having a wonderful time, taking it all in, and it was a cultural experience for me to be there. And so after it ended, Lisa was off talking with some friends. One of the things I love about her is that she's lived here for so long and knows so many people. It's great. She was off talking with somebody, and I did a little very unscientific, very impromptu poll, but I went up to a couple of people, and I said, what do you love about this music, and what do you love about this event? And without missing a beat, you know what they said? Nostalgia. Nostalgia. I thought, yeah. I said, thank you for naming that. I was trying to put a name on what's happening here, but it's nostalgia. As I was there, it took me back to my days as a child growing up, spending summers in Greendale, Wisconsin. I was born in Wisconsin. Greendale's a suburb of Milwaukee, and it just took me back to the spirit of that. I just kept thinking, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and... Didn't you ever watch that commercial, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and... Chevrolet, yes. you're tracking with me so good. Of course you would say music, because that's what I've been talking about. But that I kept thinking of that. Yeah, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. It was just, you know, it was nostalgia, and it was beautiful, and it was great. And I just loved it. And so what I want to do is we think about, again, our mission and our purpose in this church. There's a nostalgia that's present here as well. Some of you I've met, you've been here for a long time. And I hope, before I do that, I had a little help with ChatGPT to define nostalgia. And so I thought this was really good. Nostalgia is defined as a sentimental longing or wistful affection for a period in the past triggered by senses, smell, sight, sound, associated with positive emotions like warmth and belonging. Is that true? Yeah. This is interesting. While nostalgia serves as a psychological resource, fostering hope, optimism, and connection, excessive obsession with the past can lead to negative feelings of isolation and inability to move forward.
Yep.
Do you agree with that?
Yep.
Yeah. And I know, at least in my life, when I think about the past, I have a bias, and I've been taught and conditioned to let go of the past. Let it go, you know, and all the feelings, all the emotions. And I should say that when we think about nostalgia, for many, I want to acknowledge that for many people, thinking back of the past is always is not always a happy, warm thing. Many of us have traumatic stories, sad stories, that need to be left in the past. But when we think about this sense of warmth and connection and belonging, I would invite you this week, today and this week, to really lean in to the goodness of that nostalgia and allow yourself to appreciate it. I think sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to get stuck in the past. I want to be present and move forward. Yeah, we can do that. But I think, and I have a hunch, that as we go back and we remember what is it that we love about whatever it might be, our family, this church, our community, or whatever, maybe, just maybe, that warmth and that feeling and that connection can inspire creativity and courage to move forward. If we don't always appreciate that, I think sometimes we can face, especially the future when it seems uncertain, with fear. But if we think of love as one of the as the one thing that is inexhaustible, unending, without boundary, without limit, without condition, the nostalgia that we have and the love that we have for this community and this church can be something that can bring us forward into the future. Does that make sense? I'm just curious, when you think of nostalgia, what are some thoughts and feelings that come to your mind? What was that? What?
Caramel corn.
Caramel corn, yeah. Yeah? What else? What?
Childhood music making.
Uh-huh.
Tops.
What is it?
Spinning tops.
Spinning tops?
Yeah, the little tops. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. What is it?
Avocado tree.
Avocado tree, got it. Avocado tree, uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Cherry pie.
Cherry pie, yeah. I got introduced to some very good huckleberry pie a couple of weeks ago. Oh, my, is that good. But yes, cherry pie, too. Yeah, good.
What? First car.
Your first car, good. So keep thinking about all these things. Now, what are some of the feelings that come to mind as you think about it? What is it?
Curiosity. All warm.
All warm? Uh-huh. Curiosity,
fun,
joy,
peaceful.
Uh-huh, peaceful, good. Let's take this one step further, and this may, beautiful, beautiful. Let me invite you to take this one step further, okay? And this, if this might be a little out there for some of you, okay, that's fine, okay, but where does it live in your body when you think of the warmth and the good? Do you know? Your what? Your heart? The heart? Anywhere else?
Stomach?
Uh-huh, yeah, there's no right or wrong answer. This is just, it's just you. Any place else? Heart, stomach,
your face,
sure, yeah. Our bodies are such a source of wisdom, and I'd invite you this week, as you think about this, to just notice. Again, this isn't trying to be woo-woo or out there, but it's to acknowledge the fact that we are both human and spiritual. Okay, we are not so much human beings trying really hard to have a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having this human experience. And these bodies are an opportunity for our souls and our spirits to be here. So let's pay attention to them. Let's listen to them and just see what they have to say. You know, if that's not your jam, hey, that's cool. No big deal. I mean, it's whatever. But there's a lot of information and a lot of wisdom that can come from doing that. So as we think about finding, you know, what does this have to do with finding love in community? Well, it's this, and I want to offer three ways that we can find love in community. Okay, and the first one is this: remember that we belong to each other. Remember that we belong to each other. Richard Rohr writes, "What God loves, God becomes." In the Bible, the book of Romans, chapter 8, Paul says, God's Spirit and our spirit bear common witness that we are indeed children of God. Now, that's a verse that, I'll call it, common Christianity has kind of appropriated and applied only to Christians. Christians as they would define it. Christians as being people who've maybe said a prayer and accepted Jesus into their heart as their Lord and Savior, who believe a certain bunch of doctrinal facts about Jesus, and are a part of some kind of a so-called Christian church. That's all fine. That's all well and good. I want to, though, invite you to take these words and read them as maybe the first hearer of those words might have heard them. Paul wrote those words to people living in Rome who were followers of this new thing called the Way. It was a way of living love and uplifting lives. I'm inserting that in there intentionally. That was lived and taught by this human being called Jesus that was turning communities inside out and upside down. It was challenging religious structures and religious assumptions and religious biases that people had. And an error of Christianity today is making it all about the predominant religious system of that particular day. It's not about that. It's about the biases and the systems that all of us today, you know, hold on to and do that. But I just, the point to that is God's Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we, all of us, regardless of your background, regardless of what you know or don't know, are children of God. And I love that word children because you can't unchild a child. You might want to, you know, you may want to be unparented from your parents, you know, okay? I mean, that's life, right? Yes. But yet you can't. There's a permanence to that. And so it's important to look, you know, it's easy to look back in history and go, oh yeah, those thick-headed, brain-headed people, how could they be so crazy and silly to believe stuff like that? It's more thoughtful, though, and useful to reflect, what are the beliefs in my life about maybe myself or about others that cause division that isn't really there? We come back to the fact that we do all belong here to each other just as we are, just because we are. And we allow that belonging to allow us to belong authentically who we are. This is why nostalgia is so important, because nostalgia is all a part of your special story. It's going to be different than mine. You know, like I said, when I was at that concert, I was like, wow, I was all caught up in it. It's like, you don't see a lot of this in Seattle, you know? And so it was like, you know, it was like, okay, it was really cool. But it's like, wait a minute, I can enjoy this and be a part of this and not try to pretend or be somebody that I'm not. I'm gonna be authentically me. And just like, you know, for each of you, I don't want you to be somebody that you're not, you know, to try to please me or try to please the church. I want you to be just who you are. Because it's in that place that we find that authentic love and we find that authentic community, and we can find love in community. All right, the second one. Honor your uniqueness. Honor your uniqueness. So we all belong to each other, and we're all different, and we're all unique. I look forward to, in the days and the weeks to come, having more events like our barbecue today and whatever, where we can just gather around a meal and just share our stories and learn more about each other and get to know each other. Some of you already know each other real well, and I'm looking forward to getting to know you and your stories better, and I sense that you are getting ready and willing to learn more of mine. But it's this point of being able to honor your uniqueness. Let me put it to you this way. Think about the difference between a salad and a smoothie. Both are good, right? How many of you have a favorite salad? What's your favorite salad? Just call it out. What do you like? What is it?
Caprese.
Caprese? I think I heard Caesar.
Chicken Caesar.
Chicken Caesar. Okay. All right. Any other kind of favorite salads out there? What? A chopped salad. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? You like Cobb salad? Cobb salad. Potato salad. Sure. Yeah, it's good, right? You know. Now, would that salad change if you put it in a blender and mixed it all up? Some, you know. Okay, but I think sometimes, and the reason I say this is important, because this is, I think, when people hear the word unity and they think of this, you know, as a unity church, you know, their perception of it, and maybe this is yours, is that we put everything in a blender, religion, faith, people, and mix it all up, and it's all the same. Okay, no. No, 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 no. We affirm the differences. We affirm the uniquenesses of individuals. We also affirm the differences of other faiths and other religions and other spirituality. We don't say that Christianity is the same as Judaism, is the same as Islam, is the same as Hinduism, is the same as Buddhism. They all treat different things and answer different questions about life. What we can find is we can welcome the goodness of it and see the harmony and the value in all of it. As a musician, I liken it to an orchestra, you know? A violin is not a flute, is not a clarinet, is not a trumpet, is not a drum. They're all different. And each of those instruments, when played well by themselves, sound beautiful. But when all of those instruments play together and combine their unique sounds and voices and everything, that's what I love about choirs. When all the sounds come together, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. And so I look at all of the expressions of faith and spirituality and religion and belief out there as expressions of a symphony of love that's already happening. So we don't need to try to whip up and create something and make something happen here. We just rather open our hearts to the sound, to the feel of the music, and let ourselves be carried and let ourselves be influenced and let ourselves be affected by the love that's already there, honoring the unique beliefs and stories and backgrounds and nostalgia that we all bring. Isn't that beautiful? It's just great. I mean, it makes me wish that you all had instruments now. We could just start playing a symphony orchestra together, but maybe someday we'll do that. So honor your uniqueness. The quote that I'd like to say here, again, this is from Richard Rohr, who says that the only thing that separates us is the belief that we're separate. So, you know, you may be a violin or an apple or romaine lettuce. You know, someone else might be a hard-boiled egg or bacon. I'm running all these different salads through my head right now, walnut, pecan, or whatever, okay? Yeah, whatever, you know. Notice how the mind might want to latch on and say, well, okay, I don't fit in, or I don't belong, or they don't belong, you know, whatever. I'm gonna kind of noodle with you a little bit here, and I say this with all tenderness and with all respect, but I was at this concert on Wednesday, you know, I wondered how a Latin group would be welcome here, or an African group, or an indigenous group. One of my favorite groups is the Gypsy Kings. I see them, you know. Yeah, okay. Doon, 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 doon. You know, I mean, it's, you know, and it's very Latin, and it's got that thing to it. You know, how welcome, you know, would that be in our community? So good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, and but I think, you know, music can be one of those things where it's easy to go, oh, that's not for me, or I don't like that, or whatever. And it's not to say that you have to like it, but can it be welcomed and appreciated for what it is? Other religious beliefs, other traditions, you know, use names and terminology. You know, here in this one, we talk about ministers, you know, reverends. Some traditions use pastors. Some use teachers, guides, directors, shamans, witches, you know, okay? And all of those things evoke different things in it, okay? Here's the point. Notice it and appreciate it. There's nothing right or wrong or good or bad around it, but notice how the mind is going to want to create judgments that separate, okay? And it's not the fact that we're separate. It's just the fact that we're different. Both can be true. We can all be one, and we can all be different at the same time, right? Right. All right. Last one. Make purpose and mission your anchor. So if you feel lost, if you feel unsettled, if you feel like, oh my gosh, where are we going here? Just remember this. We are here to live love and uplift lives. Every class, every gathering, every event, every teaching, every communication is intended to be an offering of love, an offering of connection. There's no forcing, there's no manipulating, there's no coercing. You know, you have agency and choice to participate however you want in ways that you want, and that's okay. But again, that's our intention, and I hope that that's your intention as people that are here today. And as we get, and it's just so exciting to me. I just tell people, you know, I get to be a part of just a really unique community in a really beautiful part of the country. And I just could not be more excited for the things that I see that are going on here and when I think about some of the things that will be happening in the future. So let me just kind of wrap this up here with a short little poem, and we'll continue on with our day here today. This is by John O'Donohue. I forget what the title of it is, To Come Home to Yourself. He says, may all that is unforgiven in you be released. May your fears yield their deepest tranquilities. May all that is unlived in you, I love this, may all that is unlived in you blossom into a future graced with love. Amen, and so it is.
Lovely, lovely message. It just feels like it's so right that it's here, and we're all unique, and we all love being here. So it's been kind of hot this summer, don't you think? A little dry, a little smoky. So we're going to try to sing in some rain. Thank you.
dream.